Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning. I appreciate your presence here so that we can study God's Word together. Obviously, want to say happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. Appreciate what you do both for your families and for the congregation here. A comedian once related a story concerning his childhood. He said, "Now that my father is a grandfather, he just can't wait to give money to my kids. But when I was a kid, and I asked him for 50 cents, he would tell me the story of his life. How he got up at 5 a.m. when he was 70 years old and walked 23 miles to milk 90 cows. And the farmer for whom he worked had no bucket, and he had to squirt the milk into his little hand and then walk 8 miles to the nearest can, all for 5 cents. The comedian said the result was, I never got my 50 cents. But now he tells my children every time he comes into the house, well, let's see how much money old granddad has for his wonderful grandkids. And the minute they take money out of his hands, I call them over to me and I snatch it away from them because that is my money." While sometimes we might not be thankful for the uphill both ways and the snow lectures that we received, there are many things for which we can be thankful concerning our godly fathers. This morning, if you have a father who provided the things that we're going to talk about, be thankful and express that thanks to them if he's still living. If you are a father and you're providing these things, we thank you and we want to encourage you to keep up the good work. And if you are a father and you realize maybe that you're falling short in one or some of these areas, then we want to encourage you to step up and be the dad that God wants you to be. We're going to notice three things that we can be thankful for from our fathers. Three things that we can be thankful for from our earthly fathers, but also three things that we can be thankful for from our heavenly Father. Number one, thank you, Dad, for material provisions. Thank you, Dad, for material provisions. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, as Timothy is giving some instructions to the church, he says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Obviously, as Timothy writes, or Paul writes this to Timothy, he's letting Timothy know that, hey, as believers in Christ, we have responsibilities to our families. And part of that responsibility is to provide those things that are needed. Now notice the statement, to provide those things that are needed. All right? God has never put it on parents to provide all the things that a children want. As you get close to Christmas time, the ads tend to ramp up on the latest gadgets and the latest electronics and all the latest gifts. And there's been times that I've seen kids whose parents post on Facebook, or even hearing from my own kids sometimes. Sometimes it becomes a chorus of, I want, I want, I want. Well, sometimes the things that we want are not the things that we need. But as fathers, we should seek to provide the things that our families need. And at the same time, as those needs are provided for us, we need to be thankful for those necessities. Growing up, we didn't have all the things that I wanted. All right? Because there wasn't money for all the things that I wanted. But you know what I did have growing up? I had all the things that I needed. I can remember my own father working very hard. I can remember him showing up at ball games and different things that I was involved in, and he would switch out of his work uniform into a coach's uniform there in the bathroom stall at the ballpark. Dad, and likewise Mom, worked hard to provide those things that we needed. And you and I need to be thankful for those things, and we need to express that thankfulness. You know, our Heavenly Father provides for us as well, does He not? In James chapter 1 and verse 17, James writes that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variation, neither shadow of turning. Our Heavenly Father provides all the things that we need. You know, some of the things that we need aren't even things that money can buy, right? Fathers, we need to provide love. We need to provide protection. We need to provide security. You know, when the idea of a Father's Day was first introduced, you know what it was met with? It was met with laughter, actually. It took a long time before they ever pushed through the idea of a day to recognize Father, years and years after Mother's Day had been put on the docket. But fathers play an important role in a child's life. You don't believe that? Look at the many organizations that seek to provide male role models to those who don't have any. Fathers, we have things that we need to provide for our children. And we need to make sure that they have those things that they need. And just as we should express thanks to our earthly fathers, let's express thanks to our Heavenly Father also. He's provided so much for which we need to be thankful. A second thing that we need to be thankful to our dad for is faithful instruction. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." As fathers, part of our responsibility is to teach our children. Yes, to teach them about worldly things, school and work and relationships and driving, but also about being a Christian, about being a godly husband, about being a godly father. And yes, some of that is done through our example. That speaks volumes, but also there should be instruction involved in that. It's probably been a month ago now, I guess. We had gone for a walk around the block. Reagan, anti-anything physical, stayed at the house, but Micah and Harrison and I went around the block, and I walked on the outside of them. And after we went around once, Micah peeled off, but Harrison and I went around another time. And Harrison asked me, "Why do you walk on that side?" So let me teach you something about being a husband right now. And I talked to him about the fact that I walk on the outside because if a car comes around the corner driving crazy or something, there's time for me to try to shove mom and likewise you out of the way of that, because I have a job to protect. Those are the moments, dads, that we have to take advantage of. To teach our children what it means to be a husband, to be a father, to live in a world that, quite frankly, sometimes mocks those ideas now. But at the same time, we have to be careful how we instruct. The verse says here, "Provoke not your children to wrath." It reminded me of a story that I heard a long time ago that's always stuck with me. A man by the name of Jim Burton said these words about being a father. He said, "When I was young, baseball was my life. You can imagine the excitement I felt when my oldest son began playing. This game would be one of our main bonding mechanisms. If my son would just listen, I could help him be a great baseball player. Learning to read curveballs, shift his body weight with the swing, steal bases, turn double plays, these things separate the amateur from the pros." Burton said, "Though a pattern developed in our relationship. Because of my familiarity with the game, I saw every mistake that my son made. In addition, though, I knew how to correct those mistakes. So post-game drives home became a critique of how to improve his game. It soon got old for my son. One night he finally said, "Dad, could you try not start by telling me everything I did wrong? And maybe tell me some of the things that I did right first." Like I said, that story has always stuck with me. Dads, we need to be coaches, not critics. Are there times when our children do wrong and we correct them? Absolutely. But let's make sure we're also praising them for the things that they're doing right. What if our Heavenly Father, the only time we read about Him in the Bible is when He corrected wrongs? That'd paint a bleak picture of our Father, wouldn't it? If all we saw was Him getting on to folks when they didn't do what they should have been doing, but instead we have a picture of a God who loves, a God who cares, a God who encourages and protects and builds up. Let's make sure, dads, that we're doing the same. Of course, we receive instruction from our Heavenly Father as well, don't we? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has given us everything that we need in His Word. We have every bit of His instruction laid out there for us. It has everything we need to get us from here to the hereafter. I'm thankful to my dad, and I'm sure you are as well, for faithful instruction. Third and finally, thank you, Dad, for a godly example. Thank you, Dad, for a godly example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." Paul tells them, "Hey, you can follow my example because I'm following the example of Jesus." Paul didn't say, "Do everything I do." Paul said, "Do what I do that is Christ-like." Fathers, will we make mistakes? Absolutely. I don't know about you, but I did not receive an instruction manual that had a detailed account how to handle every problem that arises as you try to parent children. If you have that book, please give it to me, because I never received it. Mine got lost in the mail or something. So are we going to make mistakes at times? Yes. But we correct those mistakes. We make those things right. I've read this poem by Edgar Guest many times. It's a poem that I keep close to me as a preacher, but it also applies to us as fathers as well. He says, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but an example's always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see the good in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true. But I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you in the high advice you give. But there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live." Dads, they're watching. What example are we setting? Because our example is extremely important in leading our children to heaven. Let's make sure that we follow the ultimate example of our Father in heaven so that we can be a godly example to our children. Let's be thankful today and every day for godly fathers. But even more so, let's also show our love and our appreciation for our Heavenly Father. A Father who sent His Son. A Son who gave His life. Friend, how will you respond to that gift today? If you're here and you're not a Christian, will you respond in obedience? Believing in Jesus and turning from sin. Confessing that belief and being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Or maybe you've done that, but you've turned away. Friend, come back home. Yes, us as earthly fathers, we're not perfect. But we serve a Heavenly Father that is. A Heavenly Father that has given us everything that we need. Let's live our life for Him. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.